Hi, I'm Kerry McGilvray, and I'm your intuitive business guide and angel in your pocket. And today we are talking with Andrea, and I will let her introduce herself to you today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Andrea Cowdy, and I'm a content strategist, and I work with intuitive and holistic businesses and solopreneurs and small businesses as well. And Kerry and I teamed up together today to talk about mentoring and mentorship and, yeah, just all things mentors, basically. So, yeah, what are we starting with today, Kerry?
I think you had the questions, but if you guys have any questions about mentors, pop them in the comments and we will check those out as well and work through those while we're here. So I think one of the things that we were going to talk about today was what is actually a mentor. I think that was one of the first things that we were going to talk about today. And everyone's variation of mentor is probably a little bit different. And to me, a mentor, when you're looking for a mentor is someone who's been where you are and knows what it's like to be on the other side, and they have really good ideas on how to get you from where you are to where you want to go, because they've already been through that process. So to me, it's someone who's probably just that little bit further ahead of you, who can actually take you on that journey with them. What about you, Andrea? What's your idea of a mentor?
Yeah, definitely. Someone who is willing to drag you along with them when when you need it, I think. I think we all need a bit of dragging once in a while. And
yes, yeah.
I think the difference between a teacher and a mentor is that when you work with a mentor, they go, they pick it up when you drop it.
And they call you out.
This is my opinion.
They call you out as well. Yep. They won't let you just wallow in self-pity and stay where you are. They push you a little bit harder than a teacher. So that's pretty much what I envision a mentor. And someone who supports you and helps you, you know, get your head right, because a lot of the time that's the biggest thing that a mentor needs to do is – not only kick you up the bum and drag you down the hallway, but also to get your head right.
I think another difference between a teacher and the mentor for me is that mentors speak from experience. Teachers would know about whatever they teach about, but as far as experience goes, in my view, mentors have the actual hands-on experience a lot more than just the theoretical experience.
Yes, they tend to have the street smarts, right? The street smarts.
Yes.
Not book smarts. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So and some teachers do have.
If you're just joining us. Yeah. There's a bit of a lag there. So if we lose it, we lose it.
Some of the teachers do actually have street smarts as well. But they just some just don't actually relate themselves to the word mentor. So it's quite often you will actually look up to a teacher as a mentor, but they just don't see themselves that way.
Yeah, definitely. So with you, Kerry, are you a mentor and are you being mentored? So are you sort of working both sides?
I am working both sides, and what I find is really important in choosing a mentor is one who is actually doing both. So you don't want a mentor who's just got to a certain point and just stopped and gone, I don't want to learn anymore, I don't need anyone else's help, because that's all you'll do, you know. You'll follow their footsteps until you get to the point that they're at, and then it'll just fizzle and you'll stop. So you really want someone who's always constantly trying to learn, constantly trying to grow and do that. So for me, it's really important to always be having someone to mentor, and I have quite a few that I mentor at the moment, and also have I look up to quite a few mentors as well and process myself through that learning journey and growing in that space.
Yeah. I can relate to what you're saying.
Yep.
Back in the day, you know, when I used to teach psychic development, that was after I was learning for a couple of years. I think maybe it was about 5 years before I actually decided that I was ready to take other people on. And at the same time, I was still learning. So what I did was, and this was to do with psychic development. So what I did was I was learning and I was digesting and implementing and all that. I was putting everything into action. And then once all that processed and digested and all that, then I passed it down to the people that I was mentoring. So it had kind of this this trickle effect from my mentor through me down to the people, down, well, not down, but over to the people who I was mentoring.
Yeah. And so that's what it's all about, right? Yeah, that's what it's all about, right? Every bit of information. Like a true mentor really wants you to outgrow them, right? Because that's what it's all about. Like that's the beauty of the journey, is that you, and, you know, I say this to my students all the time, is like the idea is that you guys should be 10 times better than I am one day, you know, because that's the goal.
Yeah,
like you guys should be excelling past me at some point. So, you know, that's where it's supposed to go, and that's not a bad thing. That's great. The other thing about teaching is when you pass on that information that you're getting from your mentoring down to other people, it also expands them as well. And you can't actually truly understand something until you've taught it to someone else. So once you start teaching that to someone else, it really sticks within you. So it makes it stick so much better.
And that principle doesn't only apply to psychic development, but also business as well, or any type of job or skill. I think that you have, because once you start teaching other people all the stuff that you know, that's when you are confronted with new questions, the questions that that you haven't thought of and you didn't ask when you were learning that skill that you are now teaching to someone else. So that was one of the challenges that I enjoyed most about teaching psychic development as well. And even now with the content that I do, with content strategy, I learned it. It's not just a skill that all of a sudden, you know, popped into my head and I started using it, but it was something that I learned. So now I'm teaching people and they ask me questions and I have to go, let me get back to you on that one. I have to figure that out for myself as well.
Yeah. And plus so many people learn different things in different ways. So when you mentor and teach someone else, you have to learn as the mentor to think in more than one fashion. So you can't just be... Like if you're a visual learner and you need to see things, you can't just only teach that to other people, because they may be an auditory learner and they need to hear it before they can, you know, comprehend what you're talking about. So, you know, you need to understand how to language it in different ways and how to teach it in different formats as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump on to the next item on the agenda, which is what we talked about, what mentors are. So let's talk about why a spiritual business or a spiritual practitioner would need a mentor, and what type of mentors would they need.
So I guess we probably touched a little bit of that.
Pardon?
We did touch a little bit of that already, I would say. But in addition, I really do feel that spiritual practitioners, especially, they have their own set of mindset issues that come along with the whole journey of being a spiritual practitioner and having a, you know, a gift and, you know, being in service to other people. You know, those kind of feelings and people who are actually really drawn to serve other people. And that's not just spiritual practitioners. That can be holistic practitioners, coaches, anything like that. But those kind of people really get conflicted when they feel so drawn to serve other people that they then feel that they almost shouldn't be charging. So when you get a mentor, a mentor would actually help you and support you on that journey and teach you that you're supposed to charge. Like, if this is truly your passion and your gift to the world, then of course you have to charge. But it also means that you get someone with a different view on what's going on in your business. So someone who has the outside eyes, so who can have the look from the outside and see what you can't see because you're stuck in it. So they're really, really helpful for kind of finding that growth and possible areas of growth, because so many of us get stuck and we put our blinkers on like this and that's all we can see. And what we don't see is that over here on the part that we can't see is this magical thing that we could just, you know, grab with our hands if we took our damn blinkers off. So, you know, that's what a mentor will do. They will help you through that journey and turn things into what you need, give you spiritual advice so that you can do business in a spiritual manner and still keep alignment, and also give you the practical business knowledge so that you can then move forward and actually, you know, fulfill your purpose.
Yeah, most definitely. I think with spiritual practitioners, there's that adage of not just going through your own personal development through your business, because I'm not a spiritual practitioner at the moment. My business is with spiritual practitioners, but the actual service that I provide is very much like a business service. But even though it's only a business service, I'm still finding that there's a lot of personal development, a lot of clearing out beliefs and clearing out blockages and re-examining things. And, you know, talk about ego, you know, because when you're in business, ego comes up, especially when you serve others and all that sort of stuff. So there's a massive journey just with that. But when you add the fact that you are a spiritual practitioner and you have that journey to, or that path to walk as well, I think the biggest challenge is to walk both paths with integrity. And I think this is where mentors are very important, because as soon as you step out of line, as soon as you don't sound like you, as soon as you the integrity of your message is compromised, your mentor should pick that up and sort of pull you back onto the road and go, hey, you know, I think you stepped off the path, you know, come back, just gently, you know, come back to the path. I think this is why people in spiritual businesses especially need mentors, because there's already so much going on, and when you can offload some of that onto someone else, or when you know that you've got someone else who has your back, in both your business and both your spiritual path, then that's it just allows you to concentrate more on the service part of the whole thing instead of all that other stuff. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. All that day-to-day stuff that you get caught in, you know, you're like, I have to do this and I have to do that and you have to do this, and then all of a sudden you resent your spiritual business because it's got so much boring stuff that you've got to do and that wasn't what you got into it for. You know, then you start to think, is this really the path that I was supposed to go down? And it's not about whether it's the path, it's about getting support in that journey so that you can do it in a way that feels right to you, because so many practitioners, it comes down to everything about how it feels and how it looks for them. And, you know, we're such a unique group of people, right, because there's so many people who are in business and like, I could just go gung-ho and run through it, every brick wall there is, whereas a spiritual person will want to go through the brick wall, heal the brick wall, you know, make it all nice and better, and then find the next one. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're such a gentle soul, they can't just run through everything and kind of knock it all over and get up at the end and be okay. That's just not who we are. So they do need help with the practical side, because so many of us, and I'm included in this, wants to go up here and play with the fairies and the angels. And I'm like, don't you dare make me come back and do practical stuff, because that's boring. But at the same time,
you say that before.
Yep, my two-year-old tantrum comes out and I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to play, all that kind of stuff. And that's because I feel like the two levels of my energy are just so out of whack when I have to come back down to do the boring stuff. So it is really important to have that mentor to keep you in line. And also I find too that it's hard for us to actually connect to other people in the same that are similar to us in spiritual business, because so many of us, you know, are out there and we're like, well, how do you talk about that with others? We're so afraid to talk about it with other people and find people who we feel safe to actually talk about our business with, that, you know, if you have a mentor, you can blurt it all out to them. You can tell them that you haven't had a client for 6 weeks, or that, you know, I don't know if I can put my prices up because, you know, I'm scared that if I do that, that I'm going to be, you know, in front of so many more people, and that makes me really nervous. What happens if someone, you know, you can talk to your mentor about what happens if someone says something bad about me on social media, you know, because that's a big thing these days. So having a mentor is someone that you can trust and have confidence in, that they're going to hold what you give them in strict confidence, but they're also going to support you along that way. And then you don't have to, you know, talk to some random person at a barbecue about your business, because they're not going to care. And they're going to most likely tell you that if you've been in business for 5 years and you haven't quit your part-time or full-time job yet, then you have no idea what you're doing. And that's because they don't know what they're doing. Like they're at some corporate job somewhere else. How do they know how to run a business? You know, we start taking advice from the wrong people, and we turn into people who feel like we're utter failures and that we're alone in this, and we're not. So that's why a mentor is really, really super important. Sorry, I get a little bit passionate about it.
I can tell, but this is good. And we touched on some of this last week, I think, when we talked about how spiritual people get into business and why spiritual business is different. And a perfect example of this is, I might have mentioned this before, I expressed my interest in attending a business group, a business, like a meetup kind of thing, in my area, and I just marked myself as interested in the event, and that was it. I haven't communicated with the organizers at all. And one day, last week, I think, I get a message from the organizer going, you marked yourself as coming or interested in the event. What holds you back? And I said to this person, I replied back in a Facebook message to say, look, I've looked at your content and your business, and I can see that the way you're doing things is really not suitable for me and the people that I work with. And because it was your traditional, you know, brick and mortar businesses, trading or tradies, and all that. So that really isn't my arena, you know. So I wrote back, you know, this isn't really suitable for me. And this person comes back, telling me that business is business, that it's all the same. and that just told me that even though I said, you know, I work with people in spiritual businesses and holistic businesses, it just went totally over this person's head, because in his eyes, there you go, it's a male. In his eyes, a business is a business. And I just left it at that, because it would just be completely redundant for me to try to explain to this person the difference between those businesses that he looks after and the spiritual businesses that I look after. So
very, very
I just
different.
Left it at that, but I thought that was a perfect example of what mentor not to choose. And this is why I brought up, we actually skipped one of the points, but that's okay, because we kind of talked about the different types of mentors that you can have. But our next item on the agenda is how to find the right mentor. And I think you have to kiss a few frogs before you find your prince or princess. because of this reason. And again, that just harks back to a part of the conversation that we had in the show last week about how spiritual business is different. And this is where, you know, don't go for someone who, you know, they're really big and, you know, everybody's raving about them and all that, because if you are a spiritual business or a holistic business, chances are that they are not the right fit for you. Just because they can yell louder, it doesn't mean that they are good for you. So if you are a spiritual business and a holistic business, and obviously you need to find someone who understands the difference, who not just understands it but respects it, and yes, respects the fact that you choose to run your business from a more intuitive way of how it feels, as you said that before, Kerry. And not about, you know, I want these goals and, you know, I want to make 150,000 this year and all that. Those goals are good for spiritual people as well, but they are not the primary reason why they are in business. Like you said earlier, it's about the service. And all businesses are about service, whether product or service-based businesses. They're all service is a part of or an element of business. But when you're in spiritual entrepreneurship and you're a practitioner, that service is it just takes on a whole new meaning, because you are giving so much of yourself that makes up the bulk of what you do. So this is
absolutely
there's a massive, you know, gap in understanding when I talk to other business mentors. Yeah.
The other thing that I would suggest when you're trying to find a mentor is I would actually follow them for a while. So like if you find them on social media, actually follow them for a while, see what people are saying, see how you feel about it. And look, you need to find someone like, so if you're just in startup, don't go and find, you know, Gabriella Bernstein. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's not going to work, right? So you need to find someone who's just a little bit further ahead for a couple of reasons. One, they're going to be cheaper, which is good for you when you're in startup because you need that kind of cheaper support. But they're also just out of where you've been, which means that that's fresher in their mind to help you get out of that.
Yeah.
The other thing that you want to look at too is that you always, to me, I would always pick a mentor who's just that little bit further in front. And then once you've gotten to that point, if they haven't moved further in front, then you find another one who's the next level in front. And you just keep moving through them to find your way, because there's no use going for someone, you know, who's that far unattainable that you have to spend $11,000 for a day. Like, it's just, it's not practical. Yeah. And it's not logical. And, you know, there's no reason why you need to spend that much money when you're in certain levels of your business. Fair enough if you're earning 100K a year. Plus, maybe that's what you need to do. You might need to spend a one-day intensive with someone who's at that level. But you need to find the person who's just that little bit further in front. And you just always go like that, and then that way the increase in price is always just a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And by that time, the idea would be is that if you've been working well with that mentor and they've been getting you the results that you're looking for, then you'll be earning that extra income to accommodate for that little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. So I wouldn't look to the big guys, right? You can follow the big guys and you can take on their tips and you can do all those, read their books and do all that kind of stuff and find the cheaper ways to work with them, which is like the books or their videos on YouTube and stuff like that. But when it comes to actually having someone by your side, holding your hand and kicking your butt, you want to find someone who's just that little bit further in front.
I think you made a really good point about finding all their stuff and watching their videos and all that. Content marketing is the way to go, and storytelling and all that. So if you have a mentor or you have someone in mind, look at their content. And I know that because that's my specialty, right? Look at their content. What have they got out there that they are happy to provide to the people for free? Because that will tell you a couple of things. It will tell you how generous the person is. It will also tell you how competent they are. because, you know, to prove your competence as a teacher, as a mentor, as a coach, or as anything really, you need some sort of content out there online where people can search it, whether that's, you know, you do Facebook Lives all the time, or you write a bunch of blogs, or you've got a boatload of videos on YouTube, you know, in whatever way, but share your expertise so people can actually have a look.
Yeah.
To see whether they want to work with you. So if you're looking for a mentor and their website is really sparse, there's no blogs and their Facebook page is, you know, is empty, or there's really no content about what they do and how they do it, then I would stay well away, because that can mean a couple of things. It means that they are not generous to give stuff away for free. And that's like, you know, it's like providing samples. If you look at, even though I'm not too fond of multi-level marketing companies, but like if you look at doTERRA, the way they do it, they provide samples to their customers so people can make a decision whether they want to buy it or not. And this is the same thing for service-based businesses, which you would be if you are a spiritual practitioner. And you're looking for a spiritual practitioner mentor, you know, that you would have content or something out there that gives people an idea of what it's like to work with them. So,
and most,
yeah, have a good look.
Most of the really big ones have like a free resource library. So you can always start to work with them by going through all their free content. And you can also, some of them have free courses that you can sign up with. So then you can actually see how they deliver their training, because obviously when you go through a mentor, they're going to have to train you in stuff, right? So you can sign up for some of those free courses that they run. Like, for example, one of my biggest idols, I guess, is probably Tony Robbins. Now, I know that everyone has their own two-piece about him, but I really, really, really love him, and I love what he does, but he has so much free content out there, but he also has entry-level stuff. So I went to UPW last year, and that probably cost me like $1,000 to go, but that was for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
So when you break that down, that's $250 a day. He's not making a bucket load of money on that, but he has that entry-level process so that you can start to work with him. And I was lucky enough to get a high five, which I'm super excited about, but you know, and that's the closest I'll probably ever get to him, because I can't afford his $1 million an hour one-on-one coaching. So if that means that you can do it in a group setting as well, sometimes that might be a better option. So that's another way to actually work with a mentor and actually reduce the cost.
I think that's why masterminds are so popular, because the buy-in is a lot less.
Yeah.
And you get to share the space with other people who are in the same boat as you are. So you can share ideas on like your milestones in your business and all that sort of stuff. And you see where others are at the same time as you are. So it's not hearsay, you actually get to hear it from other people. And that's one of my favorite reasons for being in masterminds. So something like that works really well for me.
Yeah. It's also a great automatic, here's your tribe, because everyone's the same. Whenever you're worried about trying to find your tribe, when you join a mastermind, everyone's the same. So it's like, boom, instant tribe.
It's just that much more relatable, I think. So that's actually a good way to, if you haven't worked with a mentor before, this is actually a great way to start, just to see if a person works for you, you know, if you've got the vibe going or not, and also whether you want mentorship or not. Although I do highly recommend it, whatever stage of your business you're at. The question is, so you found a mentor, you work with them for a while, and then you realize that it's not working. It's not working for you. It doesn't feel good. For some reason, it's just a bit meh, you know. So what do you do then?
Okay, so for me, there's one very important question that I think you actually have to ask yourself first before you decide that it's the mentor's fault. And that is, have you actually been doing the work? Because it's very easy for us to place blame elsewhere because it's we don't want to have to blame ourselves. But if we aren't doing the work and aren't putting in the effort, then it's not the mentor's fault, right? So that's the first place I would actually start before I even worry about whether it's time to get a new mentor. Mm. But you need to be asking yourself why you're not doing the work. And if the reason you're not doing the work is because you're not gelling with the mentor, then that's different, right? So that means that it's obviously time for you to move on because you've either outgrown that one or you no longer feel that you're a right fit, so you should move on to someone who feels better and works better for you. But basically, whenever you get to that stage, it's just all about reassessing and moving forward. So maybe you have that conversation with your mentor and go, look, I don't think it's working with us. What do you think it is? And you can both nut it out because that's what they're there for, right? You can't tell me that there's a mentor that hasn't gone through the same thing. And they might turn around and give you that, you know, slap in the back of the head and tell you, well, you haven't done any of your homework, you know. And all of a sudden, like, you know, hiding because you're so embarrassed that, oh, shit, they noticed. And that's the thing. They're going to be blunt with you because that's what you need them to be. You don't need them to pussyfoot and dance around the forest because that's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah.
So definitely,
they're your mentor. They're not your friend.
That's right. And while they can become your friend, they have the right while they are your mentor and while they have that hat on that they can pull you up when required and you can't get shitty at them for it. Like it's like this unwritten law that you have.
Exactly. I think as a mentor, if you qualify the people that come to you for mentoring, if you qualify them and you, and by qualifying, I mean you put them through a process to establish whether, one, they are ready to be mentored, two, whether they are ready to be mentored to the level that you want to mentor someone, and three, are you able to provide that as a mentor, you know, provide for their needs. So if you are looking at engaging someone as a mentor and they are not putting you through this process, then maybe you need to pull them up on that because then, you know, chances are that they're just winging it basically. It's not really a case of I'm attracting the people that I want to work with. It's more the case of I'm attracting anyone who will spend money with me. And from a spiritual business point of view, that is not the type of energy that you want to get into a mentorship relationship with.
No, not at all. So, not at all.
Yeah.
That is really important.
So, yeah, what happens? What happens if you know you can't work it? You can't work it out. You feel like it's not you. It's not working with your mentor, and you can't come to an agreement. What happens then?
Then it's time to reassess and find another one.
Yeah.
I do. I think it's just there's no use going, no, you have to stay with me, because what kind of work are you going to get out of the client then? No, you just let them go and go, okay, that's how it is, and they move on to who they need next, because maybe where they are is they've moved in their spiritual journey, so they need to find someone who can support them at that moment. And maybe they come back. You don't know. It could just mean that they need someone else. Or the other thing that you can do is you can test out other mentors, because some mentors, like myself, I have a like a one-off session that you can do, and then that way you get great information, you get strategies to work with straight away, and then if you want to go further, then you know how I work, but you've already got the value. Do you know what I mean? So you could do that with a few other mentors to test the waters with who you would prefer to work with and just test them out. And that way you're not actually missing out. Like once you've left the other mentor, you're not missing out on having mentoring because you're testing other ones out along the way until you find the right one. Like you said, you've got to kiss a few frogs before you find your prince.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I know, I certainly have. both as a mentor and as a mentee.
Yes.
So I think it's just one of those processes where you, I don't know, I just looked at it as this is a part of business and everyone's got something to teach. Every yes. single person has something to teach. And if it's not in a form of, okay, this is how you do your business and blah, 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 blah. If that is not what you learn from your interaction with that person and you make your own conclusions, even if the relationship hadn't worked out, you know, you still learned because with the next mentor that you work with, you'll take all that experience of working with the previous one, of how the process works, you know, what works for you, what doesn't, and all that sort of stuff. So everyone's got something
also
to teach.
Also, they could just be there to teach you, you know, how they always say that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. It's the same with mentors. Yes. So they will appear to teach you what you need, and when that's finished, you won't feel the same connection. You'll feel it's time to move on. You know what I mean? And then the next teacher will appear. So you just got to remember that they were perfect for the time that it worked. And now it's obviously time to move on. That's the way of the universe and your intuition letting you know that they've done their job. Now it's time to find someone else to focus on the next part. That's all it is.
Yeah. I think that's especially important in the intuitive space because that can affect your learning, your further learning, and your moving on that path. If the relationship no longer feels good, an intuitive person or a spiritual person, a practitioner will be a lot more aware of that thing not working or that energy hanging over the relationship. Whereas what I call, you know, muggles, people who aren't intuitively educated, so to speak, they may not be as aware. So, you know, they could stretch out the relationship even further. But when you're intuitive and you feel it, I think you need to examine that feeling of where it's coming from, which you touched on earlier. So definitely. Okay. So if you could share one piece of wisdom about being in a mentor-mentee relationship, what would that be?
Honesty is super important. So that's one of the big things. Honesty is really, really important because you can't have a good relationship in that space without it. So if you're going in your mentoring sessions, and don't be afraid to share it all, do you know what I mean? Like you could go into your mentor sessions and go, oh, my God, energetically this week I was hit by a Mack truck and, you know, I don't know what it is. And if they're spiritual as well, they'll be able to pick up what it could have been that's impacted you and where you need to learn and heal along that journey. Because for us, being a spiritual practitioner, it's not just about the business. It's about our spiritual journey as well. And, you know, like we've said before, that the biggest personal development thing you will ever do is to go into business. So, and spiritually grow so much when you're in business as well, because all those blocks and those things that people can kind of dance around when you're not in business, you can't do that anymore. So it's very confronting for us spiritual practitioners. But the biggest thing is honesty. So important that you be honest, because you need to be able to tell your mentor that I'm scared, or you know, that I'm worried that, you know, or maybe the money isn't coming in this week and, you know, that's really triggered something inside of me and I don't know how to work through that. I need your help. You need to be able to ask for help. So honesty for me is the biggest thing. And the other thing as well, coming from the mentor, is that you can't crush them. As a mentor, and I've had people come to me after they've had those experiences where another mentor has absolutely crushed them and told them they're useless. And it just breaks my heart, right, you know, hearing that because for me, like, if you ask any of my students or any of my clients, I become like a mother cub, like a mother lion. So they're all my cubs, and you come after my cubs and that's it, it's on, right? And, you know, I do the same for my own family. But, like, if a client comes to me and tells me that that's what's happened with another mentor, I just want to go and rip their head off because, like, how can you say something like that? They were being honest and saying, I need your help. I don't know what I'm doing. And you just basically told them that they were shit, and you can't do that. Like, that's not what a mentor's job is. And so for me, it's about support and about holding space for them and allowing them to be open and honest and feel safe to do so without being judged, because that's the other thing. Mentors can't come from a space of judgment, and very important that both parties are super honest.
Yes, you can really stunt someone's development if you approach it the wrong way. If they feel like it's not supportive and they start doubting themselves. Because in both psychic development and personal development in business, it's so hard to get from one roadblock to the other, and you build up your confidence, you work your ass off and all that. And someone can come in and just in a fraction of a second they say something that has nothing to do with you and it has everything to do with them and their baggage and all that, and they just dump it on you. Here, have it all. And then you just go... oh, shit, and you start doubting yourself. You know, I thought I was good at blah, but now I'm not so sure. And this is something that I think mentors have a great responsibility with that, to make sure that they don't do that to people that they are mentoring.
Yes.
Because it's easy to say something that comes out of ego, that comes out of fear and whatever from the mentor. It takes a second, but then the person who hears it will take it on, and it can take them months, sometimes years, to shake it off and actually get back onto the development path that they are supposed to be on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, big responsibility. And
I find that can come from a lot, and I'm not dismissing any coaching programs because I've done some in the past, but I have a very special blend where I blend my intuitive side and the practical coaching courses that I've done. But some coaches out there don't really tap into the intuitive side. So for spiritual practitioners, when they start to go through the coaching process of the program that they've learnt, sometimes they teach them to shock them with that kind of language, to kind of, you know, because some people like to move away from pain and towards pleasure, and some people would prefer to just kind of, you know, stay anything that's not painful they want to move away from, right? So some people are happy to move towards pleasure and others need to move away from pain. So sometimes they teach them to show them the pain point so that they want to move away from the pain and towards them. And that doesn't always work for spiritual practitioners. That's really, really energetically very hard to take as a spiritual practitioner, and it's just doesn't work. So if you are a spiritual practitioner, definitely try and find a mentor who's at least intuitive and understands that spiritual side, because otherwise you're going to cop some of that that tough love that doesn't take into consideration your energy, and that's why it doesn't work.
I think a lot of people in this space use the right language, use the right words, but that is only there as a marketing front, because what is behind it is there is no real understanding behind it of how energy really works and how these people really work. They use the language, which is great, you know. They might do, I don't know, they might do a course, or they sit with someone for 6 weeks, and, you know, they pick up on all this language that intuitive and spiritual practitioners use, and then they go, oh, I can use this in my marketing and sell my products. And then what ends up happening is that the language that they use to market the product doesn't match the actual product or the actual service that they ended up selling to an intuitive person. And then, you know, once that happens, you know, I know the mind games that start happening in people's heads is, you know, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me because, you know, this person had the right language, you know, language that speaks to me, but somehow this program isn't working for me. So it must be me. I must be the one who isn't enough or isn't, you know, this, isn't that. So, and I see this all the time and, yeah, it's just really disappointing.
Watch
not just the language of the person, but the actions. You know, are they consistent or are they just using the language to hook you in and reel you in like a fish? So
goes back to watching them for a while on their social medias too, because you'll be able to find that mismatch. You know, like they say one thing but they do the other. So if you watch them long enough, you'll pick it up. And energetically, like as the spiritual energetic beings that we are, if we sat there and really energetically felt them, we'd feel that it feels off. We may not know why, but if it felt off, that's enough to say no.
You know what I say about intuition or learning to use your intuition? You learn it by, and you learn about it by not using it or by ignoring it, because when you don't use it, when you ignore it, you know, even though you have the feeling, but you ignore it, you put it at the back of your head, and then something happens and then you go, oh, I knew it, I had that feeling, you know, my gut was telling me blah blah blah, but I went against it. But this is the best way to learn about your intuition. It's not by using it, it's by not using it, in my opinion. These are the harshest lessons to learn. And, you know, once you learn a couple of these harsh lessons, you will recognize the feeling.
That's right.
Or start recognizing the feeling. Yes. Anyway, I think we have to wrap it up for today. We've reached the end of our show about mentoring. So I'm just going to pop this on the screen to show you guys, whoever's watching, whether live or replay, where you can reach Kerry. If you want to connect with her, that's her Facebook page name, Kerry McGill, Ray Psychic Medium. So if you want to connect with her about any of her stuff, do that. You can even comment on this live or replay, whatever, if you've got any questions to ask. So that's her Facebook page. And I'll just pop mine on as well, and it's this one. So if you want to connect with me, then you can reach me on, what's my page name again?
Don't you make me say
intuitive and holistic content strategists. So that would be me, but we would love to hear from you guys. How are you going with, are you looking for a mentor? Do you have one? How it's going for you and all that. So feel free to comment even on the replay.
Let us know how you chose one. Questions.
Yes, definitely.
How you knew they were the right one.
So all the stuff that we talked about, feel free to comment or send a message to the page, either one of us, if you want to discuss some stuff privately about mentorship. So we'll wrap this up for today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you haven't seen last week we talked about how spiritual businesses are different to your ordinary everyday businesses. So check it out. It's on Kerry's page in the video section, I believe. I think it's still there, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So check it out. And we'll be back next week. Same day, same time.
Same bat channel.
Another interesting. Same channel.
Same bat channel.
with some good stuff for all spiritual and holistic practitioners who want to grow their businesses. So until then, you guys have a great rest of the week. And this is me and Kerry signing off.
Bye-bye. Bye.
it's when you end the broadcast, but it doesn't really end. Right, here we go. There's the button. Thank you.